Good morning, Carmel. You're listening to Off the Wall Live on 91.3 WHJE. I'm Maggie Paul, and with us today is J.D. Arland, Jack Missler, and of course, Dr. Wall. We're going to start off with some news this morning. Jack?
Thanks, Maggie. Dr. Wall. So today, we're kind of looking forward to see how the stock market's going to do after this Chinese economy scare we saw on Friday. The Dow was down nearly 500 points on Friday.
Yeah.
We're kind of hoping to see a recovery. Have you been following this story at all?
Yes, I have. And this morning, early in China, it looks like it's going to continue to be negative impact on the stock market in the United States and throughout the globe. The advice I've heard, though, from those that advise investors is to sit tight and don't do anything. Ride this thing out. We've had a five-year positive cycle in the market, and it's usually about an 11th-month cycle where it corrects itself. But clearly, this is one of the first times we've had a hit like that in 5 years. But all the advice I've heard is let everything go, and just let it status quo. And interestingly, the economic indicators are very strong. Unemployment is continuing to be something that shrinks in the United States, which means more people are working, which is good for the economy. And home building is still up. So those economic indicators in the States are very strong. But clearly China is having an impact on the world markets, no question.
Yeah, domestically it's looking like right now we're kind of at the best we've been in quite a while.
Yeah.
We are seeing a lot of kind of foreign trade having some major impacts on this. As you were talking about, you know, kind of sitting tight, letting this storm ride out. How do you see the next few days looking like in the Wall Street?
Well, I'll probably continue to get hit by what's going on in China, but I think it depends on how the market reacts. If people stay calm, like they're being advised to, I think it'll be less of a scare. But if there's, you know, people trying to sell, which is the worst possible time to sell right now,
yeah,
it could have a greater impact on our market. So I'm hoping people just remain calm. And as Winston Churchill said, keep calm and carry on.
Yeah.
Just take it easy.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about today, former President Jimmy Carter, he released on a Tuesday, I believe, saying he had some cancer.
Yes.
Things weren't working too well for him. But I first wanted to ask you, do you, looking back on the Carter presidency, you know, do you have any thoughts on his administration?
It's interesting. I do, and I appreciate you bringing that up. I think his legacy has been, and I wish him all the best, and hopefully he has some positive reaction to this new treatment that they're trying on him. But he's a 90 years young, they say, and I wish him the best. But his legacy post-presidency has been one of Habitat Humanity and continuing to work very diligently, not only in his home state, Georgia, but throughout the globe, helping those underprivileged. That has become kind of the legacy that President Carter will have. Unfortunately, his time in office was marked with some unfortunate tragedies, the highest percentage rate for lowest for home sales, but highest for interest rates ever, 20-some%. So economy was not a good thing, and then he had some unfortunate international incidents at the end of his time, which he commented on last week.
Yeah.
It's very interesting that he just stood up and said, I wish I had sent one more Black Hawk in to get those hostages in Iraq, and unfortunately he didn't. Yeah. But that really marked an end of an era. Unfortunately, negative for him, but then it began the Reagan era because literally hours within Reagan taking over in 1980, all the hostages were rescued.
Yeah.
But his part in history, though, will be very interesting because he is sandwiched between Nixon going out in resignation, Gerald Carter finishing up, Gerald Carter pardoning Nixon, which then ended his political career, yeah, essentially, but saved the country a lot of angst. Mm-hmm. Opened the door for a young peanut farmer from Georgia, as he used to refer to himself. And he walked right into an oil crisis with the energy shortage. gas lines. I remember this as a kid. Gas lines down the street. You know, Jimmy Carter sitting by the fireplace in the White House with his cardigan sweater on, encouraging everyone to turn their thermostats down to 68 in the winter, which most of us dutifully did, I'm sure. But he inherited some tough things, too, with the energy crisis and all that. But I think he tried, like many people, tried to do his best with the circumstances he had.
And one final quote from him I wanted to have you comment on. He said, "Before I die, I hope I die before I hope I outlive the guinea worm," which is a disease he's been working on combating. His charitable work, as you talked about, his post-presidency, he's done some pretty amazing things. How have you heard about his charity?
I did actually follow that. I mean, the things he's done, like I said, for Habitat for Humanity and then internationally with disease-laden countries has been really overly impressive. I mean, and he goes. It's not like he just sets it up and, you know, navigates this from an office. He physically goes to these areas and works and has done so, you know, he got out of the office in 1980, so we're talking, you know, 45 years of giving back to communities in the United States and around the globe. So very impressive, his legacy.
All right, well, thank you.
Yeah. We'll be right back on Off the Wall with JD with sports. Welcome back to Off the Wall. We're gonna pass it off to JD right now with some sports news.
Thank you, Maggie. Going forward with the show, we're gonna talk a little bit about Carmel sports. So glad to have you, Dr. Wall.
Great to be here.
It's a great week, Carmel sports. It's been a big week, a heck of a month for Carmel sports. We are mostly undefeated. 7 of our 8 Carmel fall sports have completely undefeated titles going into the next coming weeks. But specifically, I'd like to talk about the football game. Football game against HSU. Did you see the result on that one? Were you there?
I did see the result. I was not able to attend the away game, though.
It's a crushing game. And a junior-led team. What do you think our football team does right? Because moving forward with last season coming off of that shot at State, what do you think it is that we can do moving forward?
Well, as they've done in the past, I mean, the tradition of excellence in sports here, I just want to say globally, the student-athletes here, we couldn't be more proud of what they do on and off the competition field. And to start out the fall season the way they did, that means that these young men and young ladies and coaches worked very hard in the off season to get ready for the fall. You don't just walk in first game and play really well unless you've done the preparation to get there. So commendable to all the student athletes and to the coaches. And the football program continues to work very hard at continuing this tradition of doing things right and execution. And when that happens, they get wins. And I'm very impressed with how they stuck with their game plan on Friday night. I did read about that. I did follow it. I know they had a couple situations where they were hoping to score early and did not, but stuck with the game plan.
They did, yeah.
And came out successful.
Yeah, it was kind of a gridlock going into the first quarter, but after they kind of found a strategy, a game plan, moving forward with the rest of the game, it was a crushing victory. It was great. So going more globally, like you talked about, I'm sure you've seen the NFL.
Absolutely.
Pretty hot game going on between the Colts and the Bears. This has got to be a contest for you as a native of Illinois and now a superintendent in Indianapolis. Are you a Bears fan or are you a Colts fan? And what do you think?
Well, as you may or may not know, I'm a Hoosier by birth and grew up here and went to IU. So I've been a Colts fan ever since they left Baltimore. So I never lost that during my 17 years in Illinois. And it's preseason, so let's not get too excited are too low, because they're just working out the kinks, and I have all the confidence in the Colts that they're working it out and they're going to be ready for the season opener.
For sure. And Maggie, you were there, right? You were actually on the 50-yard line.
Yeah, I was at the game. It was pretty exciting. It was a great, great game.
Was there a big turnout for preseason?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the whole stadium was full at the beginning, and then slowly throughout the night it started to dissipate, but everybody was there. It was pretty much sold out for the beginning.
Did you think Cutler, did he really hit that guy hard, or was that just kind of a guy was off balance and he caught him?
I think he hit him pretty hard. So
Cutler's an Indiana boy, too. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, it was.
He grew up in southern Indiana, about 5 minutes from where I grew up.
I can imagine that'd be such a strange dynamic to go against the team that you grew up liking. But Jay Cutler certainly having a better season, I think, than he did last year.
To be determined.
I don't know.
It hasn't started yet.
You don't think
this is preseason. I don't put much stock in preseason.
No?
No.
No way. Yeah, the Colts, I don't know. I'm liking this hookup between Andre Johnson and Andrew Luck. I'm sure you've seen it if you've been watching the game. Do you think that's going to be successful moving forward with the Colts program?
Oh, yeah. Luck's got all the tools. I mean, he just needs to make sure – they need to make sure the offensive line takes care of him.
Right.
And they establish a running game. They get those two things, Andrew Luck's going to have a – and the Colts will have a tremendous, tremendous season.
And with all these contract disputes kind of going on, do you think Andrew Luck has the potential to be the highest paid player in the NFL?
I think he does. I don't know that that's his goal, though. I mean, I think his goal is to win and get compensated accordingly. I don't think he's got that on his – he doesn't appear to be that kind of guy.
Right.
I think he'll spread out his compensation over his career and do just fine. But he wants to win.
He does. You think that's his prime focus?
Absolutely.
On the ball, on winning?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. A great week in Carmel sports, a great week in Carmel football, and in the NFL with the preseason. Third week of preseason just ahead. That's all we've got for the sports segment. We're going to move it a little bit over now. We've got somebody in the studio that's pretty well known around the halls of CHS and nationally in the running sport. We've got Ben Veach. Ben, how's it going?
It's going great. It's good to be here.
Ben is obviously, as anybody who goes to Carmel knows, one of the best runners in the state, one of the best runners in the nation, four-time varsity athlete. You've got a lot going for you, Ben. What do you think your first step is this season moving forward with running?
Well, I think we've already taken it over the summer. We've trained hard. We had our team camp a few weeks ago, really bonded with the team, and we're just psyched for the season. We have some very big goals.
And you talked a little bit about the state preview. When is that? Where is that? What are you doing to prepare?
That's the first meet I'll be running. That's in Terre Haute, Indiana. It's 2 weeks from now. The rest of the team already competed this last weekend. They did very well. We had a lot of young guys get to run because we sat out some of our top guys for some of our young guys to run on the – get a chance to run in a varsity race, get some good experience. They ran well. The team ran well on both on the boys' and girls' side, and it was definitely a positive start to the season.
You know, as you look at the – as we were talking about the great start to all the Carmel fall sports and preparation leading up to it that I was talking about, that you just talked about – and we don't talk much about, like, nutrition, rest, all these kind of things. How does that play in? I mean, you've had success winning the state, state cross-country runner of the year, competing nationally. Congratulations, by the way. That's a lot of hard work.
Thank you.
Duly recognized. But how does that factor into success?
Yeah, everybody in this running world, they do the running, but it ultimately to win at a national level, it comes down to the little things like the nutrition and the sleeping. I'm a nut about my sleeping. I go to bed at 10:30 every night, get my standard 7.5 to 8 hours.
Good for you.
My nutrition, could work on it. Oreos are my weakness. I like my double stuffed Oreos, but
that's not. There could be a lot worse weakness than that. But those are the small things that make the big difference.
Yeah.
And then you get into this preference of shoe for the runner because runners have different, really, you know, almost, I don't know, obsessive about the type of shoe. How do you look at those kind of things?
I don't really have a shoe preference. I run in Nike shoes, but I think a lot of people overthink it.
It's a big deal to some runners.
Yeah, it is. There are certain, you have to train, you have to eat you have to eat right. But there are other things that people just get distracted with.
Yeah.
That I think, we just focus on the things that matter. We focus on the things that we know will make us better. And I think that's why we have been so successful the past couple of years.
What do you think the keys to success are for you guys?
For us, it's all about our team. Healthy competition. We have 15 plus guys that could probably end up being on the varsity team at state.
Wow.
And the goal is to make sure everybody has the single goal that it's all about the team. It's all about pushing people forward, cheering our guys on, and really bonding and coming together.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and bonding and coming together is definitely what you did last season with the run to state. Last year, you scored the Indiana Gatorade Player of the Year, the Runner of the Year. So that I'm sure got you some attention from colleges and universities. What is your top three? What are you thinking about for college in the next 4 years?
Right now, my top three schools are IU, Wisconsin, and Stanford, in no particular order. They've all shown some interest in me, and they're all great running programs. They're great colleges, great education. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of the process. I'll be taking official visits to those three schools, and it's exciting. I'm psyched for my senior year.
What do you think you might study? Any thoughts on...
Being an athlete and being around the sports world, I've always been around that. My dad's a sports medicine physician, so anything in the sports medicine world, I'm looking into.
Great.
Working with athletes every day would be a dream job.
That would be. Mm-hmm. And with us baby boomers getting into that, you know, later stages of our life, we're going to need a lot of sports med and a bunch of docs to take care of us.
Yeah, it's definitely a field that has a lot of upside.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks, Ben, for joining us. Thank you.
Appreciate
Dr.
having
Wall.
You on.
Thank you.
Next time
me.
We need to bring you a fleece.
We do.
Off
yeah, it's
the wall fleece.
Yeah, I believe that.
Keep everybody warm.
Okay, well, thank you for listening to Off the Wall. We'll see you in 2 weeks.